Business on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and we got a lot of bonus school coverage, actually. We previewed that we're going to have some Riley County school districts in. We are going to have those in, but due to the spring break holiday and a little bit of a mismatch of schedules, we also have some USD 383 folks in. Superintendent Eric Reed of USD 383 and Jardine Coleman are in the studio this morning. And good morning and welcome. Actually, you can get in your welcomes, but I forgot to play the theme for these sort of things. There we go. Now it's official.
All right.
Let me turn you up there, Eric. There you go.
All right.
Now it feels right. Now we can talk some schools.
We're in the mood now.
Good morning.
Well, we do got a Board of Education meeting tonight at Robinson Education Center starting at 6:30. We talked a little bit in the previews this morning about some things going on, but I guess whoever wants to start, highlight some of those big topics today.
I'll let Jardine start.
Okay. Tonight, we will be looking at a proposal regarding the Adult Learning Center. We'll be considering the Head Start and Early Head Start grant application. We're doing some improvements at our middle schools for fire alarms and clock improvements. And then lots of technology upgrades and improvements. Desktop computers, laptop computers for teachers. Working on getting sixth grade closer to one-to-one with some iPad purchases. Upgrading some networks and things like that. So we have a lot of business on our agenda tonight.
Lots of things on there. This is the time of year we make our big purchases for next year. So most of the technology are our big purchases. We also have some facilities projects that we're working on. The board has to approve anything over $10,000. So we get a lot of action tonight. And I'll also highlight we have a land transfer option coming to the board tonight to exchange property out in Pottawatomie County from our current Lake Elbow property to a different area closer to a majority of the residents in Blue Township.
And a property exchange, I guess, give us a little bit more detail on that. That kind of seems like that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exchanging property.
And we've been working on it for a long time. I've been working on it for a long time and some different groups working on it. And we got to coordinate a lot of people with the county to see what's the most favorable to the district. The district has two properties that are undeveloped. One's on Amherst on the west side of Manhattan and one in Pott County. And from time to time, we get proposals brought up to change those, buy those, sell those, exchange for different properties. And it's a long process to figure out what's in the best interest of the district moving forward. And the recommendation tonight is to make this happen, and we'll see what the board does.
And that's something that the board can do, doesn't need any input from Pottawatomie County officials or anything like that? Or I'm sure they're probably in the loop.
I visit with the Pottawatomie County officials. We have multiple meetings with them to just on infrastructure, you know, when the water, can the sewer get there? Can we get our utilities hooked up? How much is it going to cost us to do those things in each location? So there's a lot of things to weigh in there.
And absolutely. I have to say, Eric does a great job of doing all the behind-the-scenes work so that by the time it gets to the board table, he's been able to sort of answer all those questions and tie up all those loose ends. And we pretty much have a great package for us to look at as a final product to say yes or no on.
Brady Bowman with USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Jardine Coleman. And I just want to get to, especially with kind of on a little bit more limited time than we usually have, just want to get your thoughts on the piece of legislation that's kind of moving through the House, one that came out of committee yesterday, out of the House Insurance Committee, actually, that's looking at, basically, it looks like it's more on the insurance side as far as school safety, and it's a legislation that would put guns in the hands of Kansas school teachers as prompted and, you know, worried lawmakers. The bill reviewed Tuesday would hold school districts potentially negligent if they don't permit a licensed employee to carry a concealed gun on premises. I think another thing that was also pretty interesting on that, it said insurance companies will not be allowed to refuse coverage to schools because they have armed staff. This is a state news story by the Associated Press we put on our our website and our Facebook page. And as you can imagine, it got quite a bit of comments that I think are still piling up and going crazy on that. But
a lot of attention. Did that actually pass out of committee? I don't know if they took action on that.
I believe it did come out of committee.
Okay.
Reviewed Tuesday by the committee. So I think it's still, it's not in the greater house, but something that's definitely receiving a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it came up because school districts, by current statute, are allowed to arm staff members. They're allowed to do that. One reason this bill is coming forward is one of the largest insurance companies in the state of Kansas, EMC, that USD 383 doesn't use, issued a statement soon after that that they wouldn't insure any schools that would allow staff to carry. So this is kind of in response to that, and insurance is a big deal about this part when you're doing it. So I understand the arguments both sides, but you know, there's some extreme worries in the legislation as currently written.
Because I think some of those worries you're talking about that's mentioned in the story, because it seems like it's not far away from mandating staff to conceal carry.
Almost.
Yeah. Jardine, your thoughts?
I like to look at, you know, what is the research? What tells us that, you know, that is going to be something that's going to really help keep our students safe? And I don't know that we have necessarily done that homework as a state legislature just yet. And so hopefully this plan, as it continues to develop through this bill, can really look at, you know, what has been done already that is working. And if something hasn't been researched, you know, how can we do that? We don't want our kids to be the guinea pigs on something as serious as that. And so we really want to make sure that whatever plan that we approve is going to be the most efficient and most effective plan for our kids to keep our kids safe.
Definitely a hot button issue.
Definitely.
No question.
And I'm sure it's not going away for a while.
Nope.
Not anytime soon. So thanks. I just want to get some thoughts on that. That was something that we've had on the morning newscast. And again, that we've had on our social media that's had a lot of reaction. So wanted to get your take on that. Again, a Board of Education meeting tonight at 6:30 at the Robinson Education Center. Of course, free and open to the public, as a lot of these government meetings are. A lot of different things on the agenda, very full agenda. You mentioned a couple of those things, Eric or Jardine, a couple other things you maybe wanted to highlight.
Well, one thing I wanted to highlight was Deanna Burton being named a Kansas Master Teacher through the state. She's the 28th USD 383 teacher named a Master Teacher. You can ask Brady about that in the next segment. That's his wife, and she's a wonderful teacher at Anthony Middle School. So we're recognizing her tonight as well. Other than that, most of the new business Jardine kind of went over real quickly.
And we do have a phone call. Caller, go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, good morning. I thought, you know, a lot of people homeschool their children, and they're probably in most neighborhoods. What would be the thinking if you had someone at homeschool, maybe homeschool a few extra children in the neighborhood? Maybe if they had three children, they would maybe homeschool 10, 11, 12. That would take the pressure off of the schools. Then we wouldn't have to be talking about building any more schools. And then when the population's up and down, we wouldn't have the problem of building a couple $25 million middle schools and then have the enrollment drop. Originally, we should have built one school in Seco Park, used a high school there and a middle school up where the high school is, and then use the building downtown on points, the RCPD, then we've all got one building. But it didn't work out. That was suggested, I know, because I made the suggestion to the consultant from Colorado, the expert, and said, no, that won't work. Anyway, if you had those little neighborhood groups, they'd still be controlled by the school district. They could keep track of the children, keep track of their grades, and take the pressure off the schools. I'd like to listen to an opinion from both of you on that.
I think that's a great question.
I would say, you know, as a state school, we're free and public education for all of our residents, for anyone that chooses our option. If someone chooses to take a different option through private school, that's on them. But we're mandated by state law to provide an education for every student that walks through our doors, and that's what we want to be ready to do. That's our responsibility.
I think that's a great idea. I think that we probably would get into some problems when you look at what homeschool curriculum a certain family is using, because some people are homeschooling through the school district and some people use different programming. And so families would have to do a little bit of extraordinary research to try to figure out, is this certain homeschool teacher teaching what I want my kids to learn? At least going through the public school system, you know that your kid is learning, you know, what is outlined by KISA and what's outlined through the curriculums that we use. I think it would be fantastic if we could rally together as communities and educate our children in our communities. I don't think that's a bad thing, but it would require a lot of coordination between families, and maybe that's something that families don't want to do.
All right. Thanks again for the phone call. Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Jordan Coleman, USD 33. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a good meeting tonight.
Thanks.
More in Focus coming up.
Behind every great meal is a great grill. And not just any grill, a Traeger grill. And the Timberline is Traeger's most advanced grill yet. And it allows you to grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, and barbecue like a pro, no matter your level. Thanks to the